You please turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans in the chapter 8. The book of Romans in the chapter 8. We're going to look on tonight on the subject of adoption. Adoption, what it is to be called the sons and daughters of God. I was speaking to our brother George McConnell, or Book George as we all know him, this throughout the week, and he asked me to bring you a short report about Ardara. He's told me that he's very fond of the church over there. We've had big changes in the past year. We've spent 3 years under the interim moderatorship of the Reverend Ferguson, who we're all familiar with here. When I was a child, he was the minister here. I didn't really get to know him that well, but I've got to know him really well over the last 3 years. I have to say we've thoroughly enjoyed his pastorate over us at this for 3 years, his care for us, and even us as a session, a young session, we enjoyed his wisdom and his direction in many ways. I'm sure you know this congregation Ardara called the Reverend Andrew Murray. He accepted and was installed back in, can you remember the date now? My brother Stephen was there taking photographs. So he's been in place for about 3 weeks now, and we're thoroughly enjoying his ministry. There's a real air of optimism among the people. They're enjoying his preaching, and we're seeking to see the work of the Lord furthered in our area. So we thank you for our prayers in that matter. It was a long 3 years sitting without a minister, but we're glad to have Mr. Murray with us now and a minister established and heading forward. Reverend Ferguson will be staying with us for 3 years for our senior minister, because we've called a student, obviously, and we're looking forward to renewing fellowship with him as well. So we'll just get on to the subject here of Romans chapter 8. At this time, our land has been turned upside down, our nation. With this coronavirus, we see death all around us, we see sickness, we see a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, a lot of deceit in many ways. But there is a virus there, it's killing people. But we've always had that. We've always had loss of life. We've always had illness. We've always had struggles. We've always had heartaches. Many of you here throughout the past 12 months have lost loved ones. The heartbreak that comes with that, that yearning to see them, the loss that you feel. Many of you maybe have broken homes, issues that are going on inside your own life you can't talk to anybody about. The weigh upon you, the weight of it. Different things, sickness, maybe you even are sick, maybe you have an illness and you feel you can't even speak to your loved ones about it, for you don't want to bring weight upon them, pressure upon them. And as believers, we sometimes get into this notion that we shouldn't worry, we shouldn't have heartache, we shouldn't have trouble. But we're born onto it, as the sparks fly upward, the scripture tells us. We're born on the trouble, we're born on the heartache, we're born on to suffering to a degree. And as believers, we have that Heavenly Father. But even the term Heavenly Father can make it sound like he's at a distance. And sometimes we can feel very alone. You look at others around about you, even within the congregation, you say, yes, I have my heartaches, I have my troubles. There's not one person in this building that doesn't. And as God looks down upon us and sees that heartache, there's multiple of them. There's millions of people throughout the world, millions of believers that have heartache, have troubles, and you feel to a degree, I'm on my own here. Well, this chapter tells us differently. This chapter, we would know it as the main frame of the doctrine of adoption. When you hear the word adoption, you might think back to the catechism. What is adoption? Adoption is the act of God's, I have it written, better quote it properly here. Adoption is an act of God's free grace whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. That adoption being brought into God's family. What it means. So Paul here gives us a real picture and a real glimpse of what it is to be a son and a daughter of God. And it's not some big, vast, wide subject. It's the most personal subject you have in the Bible. Because it's between you as an individual and your Heavenly Father. As an individual. It's like a son and a father. A son and a mother. Daughter, mother, daughter, father. That relationship, that bond, that is what it's about. It's as close as that. So never try and term it in this big, vast, universal thing. Because it's a personal thing. This is what your salvation is. It's being bought into the family of God. Being a child of God. Paul, in this letter, the book of Romans is can be deep at times, but it just explains everything the whole way through it. Chapter 8 here, it brings, if we read there the verse 24 of chapter 7, this is the starting point, being the sinner. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. It's Jesus Christ that removes that body of death that Paul writes about. And the picture of that body of death was people that would have committed murder back in them days could have been put in a prison, and they could have had a corpse tied to the back of them. And that's the picture of that body of death. They walked about with a corpse on their back, that memory of their crime on their back. And we have that as human beings. We have the guilt that comes upon us of our sin. But whenever we're saved, it's Christ that removes that. Christ that removes that guilt. And back in Old Testament times, the law, we were under the law. People sinned time and time again and constantly had to go back to the law, the sacrificial law. They had to go through the rigmaroles of that there. There was different characteristics for different sins, and these things all had to be put in place. But now that we are saved, from the point where Jesus Christ comes into your heart, the Spirit of God indwells you, you're saved, you're a child of God, we follow after the Spirit. Our sins are forgiven, our sins are dealt with. That sacrifice of God's was once and forever. And these first 13 verses deal with that division between after following after the law or following after the Spirit. And through that, we are to know within ourselves, we follow after the Spirit. You here tonight, what brought you here? What brought you here tonight? I don't mean your car or a bike. I mean, what brought you here? What desire was within you to bring you on into the house of God to hear God's word? It's not that cold. It's quite mild today, but it's winter weather. You could quite easily have sat at home. There's a desire within you, within your heart, to come out and hear God's word. A desire to meet amongst God's people. That it just seems to come to you want to be there. And that is the leading of the Spirit. If you weren't saved, you would have no desire to be in this house on a Tuesday night. None whatsoever. There's many do it on a Sunday out of repetition, out of perhaps family respect. Prayer meeting situation, Tuesday night, you come to cry upon the Lord to hear God's word. You are here because there's something within you that drives you to be under God's word. And that is the leading of the Spirit. We'll jump into the chapter then at verse 14. Verse 14 of Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We already spoke about that leading. The very thing that has led you here tonight is the Spirit of God within you that came into you at the point you were saved. That leads you. So whenever you know that there's a leading within your life, a supernatural leading within your soul, within your heart, that leads you to the house of God, that leads you to wanting to know God the Father more, to know God's word more, that is a leading of the Spirit. That is proof within you that you are a believer. That is assurance of salvation, that you are right with God, that you have that desire to be under God's word. The word says here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And you women, don't feel left out. That includes you too. Sons and daughters of God, the offspring of God. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now that leading within us, it doesn't lead us into bondage. Sin leads us into bondage. And under the law, that sin needed dealt with constantly. Week after week after week, month after month, the various different things, the dove offering, the lamb offering, these various things all dealt with sin, which needed to keep being done. And it's a bondage. Whenever you feel your sin constantly weighing upon you, before the point you were saved, the sin would have been tied to you, like that corpse tied to your back. It's bondage. We don't have that, brethren. We have the spirit of adoption whereby we look to God the Father. And we cry, Abba, Father. Or if you want to term that, Father, Father. There's an earnestness to it. That's what it means. Abba Father. It's like Father, Father, looking to God, crying on to God, because you are the sons and daughters of God. And we don't look to the law. We don't have to constantly have that repetition of sins being dealt with. They have been dealt with once and for all. But our salvation doesn't end there. Our relationship with God doesn't come to a final point at that. That word adoption, what it means, and that the fact that we're told we're brought in, we're not in bondage, but we're brought into adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. That crying, Abba, Father, it shows that relationship that we would know between a son and a father, mother and a daughter, that close bond. You know, any of you that have a son, you know they constantly will be on your heel. As a wee toddler, they're always looking to you. They're always looking up to you. They're always following you. If you're out doing a bit of work around the house, they're lifting your tools. They're wanting to be just like their father. They've that constant yearning to be as tall as you, as big as you, do the things you do. They want to be just like their dad. It's just a natural thing within them. And they keep looking that way, looking towards you. Whenever they're scared, whenever there's problems in their life, they come running to you. Many of you men haven't been standing talking to somebody that your child doesn't know, and they're hanging around the inside of your leg. They don't want to leave go. They put their arm right in around you and they cling to you. That bond, that natural bond between a father and a son that draws you together. This is the picture that Paul's painting here. This Abba Father, this yearning for the Father. And it says the Spirit birth witness in verse 16 with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that spirit within us that yearns on to God is the same as a child yearning on to its father. You know, whenever the child falls, whenever it could be playing in a play park and fall off a slide, fall off a swing, get a bashed knee, some other child could pick on it, whatever. And they're totally oblivious of their parents until bang, the trouble comes. Or they have a need. And then the cry goes up and they go looking, they go searching for you. Go searching for their father or their mother. They're crying out for you. And that's what it is for us. We have God to go to. We have God the Father. We are adopted into his family. We are the sons and daughters of God. And we have him to carry that trouble to. He will nurture us. He will protect us. And it's not just that. It's not just that of us running to God. Whenever you're standing watching out for your children, your children's in a need, or even if you go to pick them up at school, you go to pick them up at their football, their hockey, whatever their entertainment is or their hobbies are, you may be sitting at the school gate and there could be 200 children come out through that gate, but you see your child. Everybody could be the same height, they're dressed the same, they could have 50 of them could have the same school bag on, they've all the same interests, they walk similarly, it's just a drove of children, a sea of children coming out. But your eye, your affection is drawn to one, and that's your own. And God's the same with you. God's the same with the child of God. You know, I heard the Pope bringing out a statement there lately that about gay marriage and gay adoption, things like this here. And he said that all the children of God are entitled to a family. And they have this terminology that the whole of creation is the child of God. We are all the children of creation. God's creation is right. But until you're saved by the grace of God, then you're in God's family. Then you're truly the child of God. And when God looks down upon this world, it's you that he sees. You know, in John chapter 17, the high priestly prayer, Christ speaks about them that the Lord have given unto him. And that is that elect body of God's people. That is us. That is us that have been called out of our sin, that have been made aware of our sin. We've been drawn out of it and added on to the family of God. We are the sons and daughters of God, and we hold that special place. And just as that drove of children were coming out and your affection goes to your child, God is the same with you. Whenever that child comes out, if they're injured, if they're hurt, if they have a problem, you want to know about it. You want to help them. You do all that you can for them. Sometimes they're struggling with issues. You can't always help them out. But maybe in your wisdom, you know, well, they have to get through this themselves because they're going to go through harder times later on in life. And you let them. You let them suffer it for a while because you know it's going to build them up. It's going to make them stronger. and it's going to provide a better grounding for them in years to come. And sometimes the struggles and the trials we go through, that's just what God's doing with us. He's strengthening us. He's adapting us for what's ahead. And that's just in this earth. And there's a reason why we go through all these things on earth. And we think, people think, you know, if you're saved, you should never have troubles. It's something the world throw up to you, isn't it? Well, he's a Christian. Look what he's going through. She's a Christian. Look at the health problems she has. And people think just because we're believers, we're bulletproof. We should never be affected. We should never be hurt. But that's a lie. That's a farce. We will be hurt. The Bible tells us clearly. It tells us here in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That affection that we have for God tells us that we are the children of God. And same with him to us. His affection for us tells us that we are his child. And if children, then heirs. This tells us the standing of our adoption. We are heirs of God. And heirs means you have an inheritance coming your way. It means you're entitled to something. It means that there's something for you in the future. Yes, people maybe think that they're an heir to acres of land, fortunes of money, and it has to be down the line. It's not coming to you just yet. And maybe you could do with the money now. Maybe you could do with the land now. And that inheritance is some way off. Well, you're going to have to struggle it through until that time. It mightn't sound pleasant, but that's just how it is. But God here says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What does it mean to be a joint heir with Christ? A joint heir with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Jesus Christ paid that debt for us. You know, he came to this earth and he lived the perfect life. He lived the perfect life. But it wasn't a fairy tale. You know, Christ went through all the emotions that we did. Christ went through all the heartache that we did. And he possibly went through even more suffering than we can ever imagine. You know, he lost loved ones. The very early stage of his ministry, the one that went before him, John the Baptist, had the head taken off him. What would that not have meant to Christ? That persecution, that murderous deed that was done to one of his beloved. What would that not have meant to Christ? Lazarus died, Christ wept. He felt the loss of death. And you know, when someone dies and trouble comes your way, people may say, I know what you're going through. But nobody knows what you're going through. The only person that knows the weight of your sorrow is you and the Lord. That's it. Things affect us all in different ways. But your sorrow is your sorrow. And you know the weight of it. But your Heavenly Father knows the weight of it. Your Heavenly Father wants to help you with the weight of it. And your Heavenly Father has an inheritance ahead for you, whereby these things will never come to you again. But we have to keep our eyes fixed in that inheritance, that heavenly home. It says here, and if so, being a joint heir with Christ. Christ suffered all them things. I know Christ lived perfectly. He even suffered the temptations of the devil and rejected them. Lived that perfect life and was nailed to the cross. The Son of God was nailed to the cross. Now, look at adoption in this manner. There's many people adopt children for various reasons. Some can't have their own children. It's not a gift of God has given them. They can't have their own offspring. And they go and adopt children. They feel that they have so much love, so much care. They want to pour out on a child. They want to devote to a child, give it a better life. And they go and adopt a child. Others have children and feel that they're in a position whereby they can give more, and they adopt other children. Do you know anybody with enough love in them that they would allow one of their children to be sacrificed just so as that they could adopt somebody else? Can you fathom the love that would take? The love that God the Father had for you when he was willing to allow those Roman soldiers to nail his son to the cross. Can you fathom that love? That love was for you, brother and sister. That love was for me in a personal way. If there was nobody else, he would have done it for me. If there was nobody else, he would have done it for you. so as he could draw you in and adopt you into his family. That sacrifice had to be made. And then to be considered as a joint heir with Christ, when Christ went through so much for us, and yet we take half of his reward. We are joint heirs. We are brought into that same level as what Christ was. We are given his reward for our sin. What a blessing it is to be a child of God. Can you see the personalization of this relationship, this adoption? To be drawn in, to be a son of God, to be a daughter of God. And that relationship, what it is to be united with God. For him to be your father. And it's not a lofty notion, it's not a lofty idea. He is your father. He wants that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be unveiled in us. That glory of heaven. You know, many say we'll live our 70. That's 70 years. Some of you possibly over it. Some of you a bit to go. Many never see it, sadly. Many never get even halfway to it. But for an eternity, you have a heavenly Father that loves you, that wants to nourish you, that wants to hold you. Just hold you. You know, at times we feel so underweight with our sin, or underweight with grief, underweight with problems, struggles in life, constantly swimming against the tide. And you can get into a place whereby you feel you can't even pray. You don't know if God's listening. You don't know what to say. You don't even know how to go about it. This chapter gives us counsel for it as well. I haven't time to go through it all, but if you look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That Spirit that is within us that tells us that we are the children of God, it helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That position where you just are struggling, you don't know what to say to God. Maybe God, why have you brought these things my way? Why? And you can't get personal, you can't get human understanding on the issue. But that Spirit within you, it says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When we're in such a despondent state where we feel we can't even draw into the presence of God, the Spirit of God within us does it for us. And men and women, you may be in the depths of it at the minute, but God will bring you through. God will carry you through it. You have a godly inheritance ahead of you. You are a child of God. He loves you enough to sacrifice his son that he may bring you into his family. And if he loves you that much, how much more does he not want to take your trouble, take your weight, take your burden? Leave it with him, men and women. Carry it to him. Carry it to his feet. He wants it. He wants your love. He wants your affection. He wants your troubles. He wants your sorrows. Anything your child goes through, I'm sure you do whatever you can. Take the weight off them. Your heavenly Father will do so much more. We can't even fathom what he wouldn't do for us. I hope this will be a blessing to you. I hope you meditate your minds upon it and cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father, we are permitted to come on to his feet, to cry unto him, right to the very throne of God. You know, in the Old Testament times, old times of the law, it was only the high priest could go in onto the Holy of Holies. But at the point of Christ's death, the veil was rent in two, and we were permitted to go right to the throne of God through Jesus Christ, him that sits at the right hand of God making intercession for us. So men and women, Christ in this chapter is telling you to come unto him and cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father, take our sorrows. He has an inheritance ahead for you because he loves you. Cling on to it, men and women. Read through this chapter. It can be hard reading at times, but if you read through it in the vision of being locked to God as his son and as his daughter, you'll have a greater understanding of it. Christ died for you. God the Father loves you. You are his child.